come up, Kelly. And
party. Kelly?
You guys just want to come up, and then we can... Then you're not popping up and running up there. You've been bad last week, I heard. So. All right. I'm going to open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5525. We have the LFO recommendations. Doug, would you like to walk us through?
Sure, Mr. Chair. What I would like to do today is first go through the department-wide items and then switch to child support to meet their schedule, because Cindy will not be available, my understanding, on Tuesday, so we'll make it. So major issues agency-wide with the Department of Justice. We've already approved a legal services rate for attorneys, reduced it from $109 to $98. And because the way that the AG bills internally, they are one of the major users of the fee and actually give up a significant amount of general fund in this budget. We'll come back to that. Going back up to the table at the top of the first page, I should mention, you'll notice that the governor's recommended at $36.9 million of general fund. This recommendation from LFO is $31.9 million, a reduction of about 13.4%. One of the major contributors to that is the rate reduction. There's significant general fund growth between 01-03 and 03-05. The major reason for that is the transfer of child support that represents about $11.5 million of increased general fund in the agency. Just as a side note, the DOJ did present information to the subcommittee around attorney compensation, made some comparisons between the AG's office, both at the beginning and the maxed out ranges, and compare that to some Portland area local governments, Eugene, other states, and they are below those in those ranges. This budget doesn't necessarily address that in any way, just as a side note, and it's something they will have to struggle with, even though there wasn't money in the budget for it on this biennium. As I mentioned, the fourth bullet there, yesterday, the criminal fines and assessment, those revenues continue to fall. It affects this budget to about the tune of about $750,000. And when we get to the criminal justice, our criminal justice division, we'll show what our recommendation is around that. On the next page, top of page two, are the agency-wide standard adjustments across all the budgets, the merit increases, vacancy savings, attorney general. As you notice there, I talked, there is a reduction of over $2 million total funds because of the attorney general rate decrease here. On the DAS assessments and inflation. Inflation was taken both in general fund and other fund areas, but we did keep telecommunications and rent from being affected because the rent increases generally reflected the increase in the rate being charged state agencies. In terms of vacancy savings, there's a paragraph at the bottom of line or page two that talked about sort of an accounting of the positions. When we received the vacancy lists in March, there were 187 positions. Of those, 41 were positions that were not even funded in the governor's budget. They had basically been parts of policy packages that were not funded. 51 of the positions were in policy packages included here that we'll discuss. 27 of them have been filled, and 68 were actually funded in the base and not filled at the time. It is our recommendation at this time that we abolish 24 positions across the board in the department. When looking at that and making our recommendations, we made sure that several factors were taken into account, including those at positions that were directly related to public safety, specifically organized crime unit and the district attorney unit. If there were vacancies there, we recommend that those were not taken. The main reason around the district attorney unit is that with various district attorney units or offices across the state, dropping off employees, that the demand for this unit's workload will probably increase as a result of that. And they're an important part, mostly with smaller counties. Positions that generate revenue for various programs across the department, we did not recommend those. That included some admin positions that that make sure that the billings are properly sent out to the agencies where they collect revenue, as well as some other key programs, positions that where they're out collecting fines, penalties, consumer protection related things. We made sure that those positions were protected. There were certain attorney positions in key legal areas that we tried to protect in this. Employment law, we expect some increase in the demand for those services. I think they've already seen it as state employees are laid off, programs are affected by budget cuts. We expect the same type of reaction to the special litigation unit. Generally, we've already seen that in terms of areas of human services, indigent defense, where there were lawsuits brought by interest groups that were affected by the cuts during 0103 and probably going into 0305 if the cuts continue to be made, where they bring suit against the state to get some type of to relieve themselves of the cut. And it's a special litigation unit in the trial division that often is the responsible party for defending the state in that. And also where there were backlogs in areas like the trial division, the appellate division, we tried to make sure that those were protected so that the backlogs would not continue to grow too large on the legal side of the agency. So with that, there were 24 positions recommended for abolishment. Just to sort of give you an idea where they are, there's one in admin, two in the appellate division, six in the civil law, one in criminal law, two in general counsel, one in trial, and 11 in child support. And we work closely with the agency identifying these. And in some cases, they brought forward alternative positions instead of the ones to make sure that we were to move toward abolishing positions in the most effective way for them. Some of these positions have already been taken into account in the legal, in the rate reduction. Those that have, are part of the legal services fund have been factored into that that rate, which was reduced from $109 to $98. And with that, Mr. Chair, that's sort of the agency-wide discussion. I would suggest if you're going to take motions and approve that we do that for each individual division this time on calls and baggage, just because I think we won't forget if we go back as a subcommittee.
Yeah, and we'll walk through some of the policy packages. Do we just want to skip back then to
go back to page 11 of
child support?
Mr. Chair, on the bottom of page 11 starts that part of the recommendations. You'll notice in the table there that the governor's recommended budget was $112.5 million. Our recommendation is $108.3 million, including a roughly $1 million reduction in general fund. And if you turn to the next page, the major issues here, we've talked about the transfer and the change in the financing of the child support division. Before, they were basically worked under contract with under DHS. Now they are the lead agency or proposed to be the lead agency. House Bill 2340 has already passed both chambers, been signed by the governor, and on its way to Washington for their in concept for their approval of the transfer. That overall, the transfer saved roughly $900,000, and nine positions were transferred from DHS to DOJ. There are two bills that you need to have that have fiscal impacts that are part of this program. There are probably more, but these are two key bills for the budget. The first one is not 2113, it's 2783. I put down the wrong bill number there. I apologize for that. But that requires a collection of Social Security numbers when applying for the driver's license. This is a federally required rule or requirement for the state to maintain its child support plan in good standing with the federal government. This act does not have a fiscal necessarily to the child support program. It's a fiscal to ODOT and DMV. And that bill is presently in Ways and Means and will hopefully get assigned to a subcommittee at some point in time. The co-chairs are aware of the issue around potential penalties if this bill is not passed. In fact, the chair of the Human Resources or Human Services Committee brought that to their attention because many of the penalties, if we're out of compliance, do not necessarily affect the child support program. It affects the TANF or Temporary Assistance and Needy Families in DHS. The second bill is House Bill 2095. This is also a requirement for the state plan, which requires a notice of health insurance coverage under the National Medical Support Notice. This bill, I believe, is in one of the Judiciary Committees at this time and will be referred down here. At this time, it has a general fund fiscal, I think, of between $300,000 and $400,000, but we haven't had a chance to take a close look at it. That's the estimated fiscal at this time, but you will have to deal with that because, again, that is a requirement for the state plan. In terms of the policy packages, Policy Package 115, you'll see, I think, three or four of these throughout DOJ, where they're asking to increase FTE on positions. In this case, we're talking about two positions. They're student worker positions. They're self-financing these by moving money out of the temporary or overtime payments into funding the increase in the FTE in position, and we recommend approval. In this case, there is some increased federal fund limitation from their available revenues to accomplish this and fund these FTE increases. We feel that this better represents how the positions are used and makes it a more effective for the agency. Package 200, this is their big package. This is the change to the transfer, the consolidation of child support program from DHS to DOJ. It was roughly $11.5 million, but we have adjusted the program for the change in the AG rate, which reduces that amount by $54,000 general fund and over $243,000 federal funds. And so this pretty much follows what the intent of House Bill 2340. Package 201 on the next page establishes 19 permanent positions. While it's establishing positions, these are positions that have been limited duration for at least two biennia, probably three. It goes all the way back to federal welfare reform. For some reason, over the past two sessions, somehow they've slipped through them by not being permanent, and they're not being made permanent. These are ongoing, continuing caseload or workload issues, and LFO is recommending that you fund these and approve the policy package. There is no general fund. It's all other funds or federal funds. And that if you looked at the major spreadsheets that are also part of your packet, you will notice that the funding for these 19 positions are taken out of the budget when you go through the budget building process because they were limited duration. So it is our recommendation that you approve these and hopefully fix this issue for once and for all to address your workload issue. 205 is establishing five positions phased in during the biennium, so it's 2.5 FTE to respond to growing caseloads. This, again, is funded other funds and federal funds. It is our recommendation that you approve these, but unschedule the funding for them and require them to come back to the emergency board to get the approval for the funding for the positions, and that at that time we can determine, the emergency board can determine whether the workload and the caseload growth is there to merit the positions. LFO 1 to 5, the standard adjustments described above. They total $378,000 general fund, $810,000 other funds, and $2.8 million federal funds. Significant reductions there for vacancies, merits, AG costs, DAS assessments, and inflation. LFO adjustment number 6. A few weeks ago, I asked the agency to take a look at their assumptions in building the budgets and update the information they have on incentive packages and or incentive payments, excuse me, and recoveries. And in doing that, they found that recoveries were forecast to be a little less than $900,000 less than their assumption in the governor's budget, but the incentive payments were going to be $1.4 million greater. And so the net of that, the $545,000, can be used to offset general fund need and free up general fund to be used to meet the subcommittee's targets or for some other purpose. But that is a savings of $545,435 that goes along with this recommended adjustment. We also asked the agency as part of this recommendation to ongoing during the biennium reproject these recoveries, incentive, and payments to see if they change and then report if they do come back asking for more for the FTE or for the funding for the FTE in Package 205 to report to the emergency board at that time where they stand in recoveries and incentive payments. LFO adjustment number 7, this is a technical adjustment to make sure that the expenditures line up in the right revenue category. These are the incentive payments. In the governor's budget, they're classified as federal fund expenditures. They need to be, the agency desires them to be other funds to make it much easier. There is no net effect on the budget on this. So, Mr. Chair, that is the child support and the LFO recommendations for the child support division.
Thanks, Doug. I'm trying to, so maybe let's go over the package 201 a little bit more. 201, 205, we've been asked to scrutinize the FTE issues fairly strenuously, and Senator Dell and I were reminded this morning by Co-Chair Schrader and our committee. So I just want to get a clear understanding. Doug, you're recommending we cut 11 positions
in child support.
In child support. Yep. So we cut 11, and those were positions that were in, I guess I'm trying to reconcile for myself, from the legislatively adopted 587 from last biennium,
mm-hmm.
or 583 from the biennium before that. Now to rotate in these 19 permanent, making 19 permanent positions versus making them limited duration positions.
And those, Mr. Chair, those 19 positions would have been part of that FTE in 2103 or 99.
So that's been carried.
Yep.
So that 19 is included in that.
We're included as part of that 587 FTE. In the
okay.
They were just, if they're limited duration, when you pass over through a biennium, you lose the authority to continue those positions because they're limited duration.
Right, I understand that. I'm just trying to make sure that those numbers jive with where we're at. And then we're approving 5 new positions for caseload growth in the 2005 package. Plus, we're taking and shuffling over, basically, the student workers from
right.
where they were and, I don't know, contract services or whatever, however, whatever other budget item they were on for 115.
Right.
In package 115. So that's 7 net add positions that weren't in from last time. Is that correct?
Well, actually, package 200, if you really want to know, also transfers 9 positions from DHS to DOJ.
But right.
It's a wash in total between the two agencies.
Right. I'm just trying to reconcile between how the positions show up in the FTE approval here. So if we take the 587.80 from the 0103 adopted budget,
mm-hmm.
then on top of that we add... Then on top of that, we add 5 plus 2 is 7.
9.
And 9
sure.
is 16. So that would be 602.8. So I'm trying to do the FTE count here on your recommendation if we're on this division.
Mr. Chair, but what you're not seeing is the loss of 20. If you went into the detail spreadsheets when we were building the budget, there were also changes in some of the what we call essential packages. For example, in building the base budget, they lost 22.31 FTE, which are this roll-up of various personnel changes, and I have to go dig in the detail to figure out exactly what those 22 lost positions. But part of, well, actually 19 of those would be the limited duration positions that you lose.
Right, but now we're restoring. So I'm trying to get an FTE. I'm trying to get my arms around an FTE count for this particular.
Chair Patridge. This is Cindy Chinnock, director of the child support program. The five actually represents only 2.5 FTE, so we've got that adjustment as well. They're phased in.
This is FTE positions.
Okay.
So if I take 602 minus 2.5 minus 11. I'm just trying to understand where we're at.
Well,
we're close, but
yeah,
we're
Mr.
off
Chair,
a little bit.
If it would help, if you would go to the detailed spreadsheets that are there, go toward the back five pages of it, you'll see how the budget is built, and I think that actually will track better for you. If you look toward the last five pages of that, you'll see pages 1 of 5. Actually, it's child support. Yeah. And if you go to that first page, you'll see your 587.8.
Right.
And then right off the bat, you lose the 22.31 in something called the admin biannualized e-board and phase-outs. That includes the 19 positions, the FTE for the 19 positions that were limited duration. You go to the next page, there are no FTE changes on page 2 of 5. You have various essential packages, inflation and those kinds of things. And then you get to the policy packages. 115 adds 1.12.
Mm-hmm.
200 adds the 9 that were going from limited duration to permanent. The welfare reform, there's 18.25. That is or 201 is the 19 positions. Excuse me. The 9 positions are the ones that come over for DHS and 200. 201 are the FTE associated with the 19 positions. Then you have in 205 the 2.5 FTE, which is part of the 5 positions. And then at the bottom of that page, adjustment 002 are the 11 positions that are recommended for abolishment. And I think that is it. And then on the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5 is where you get to the 585.36, which is the LFO recommendation, which is a net reduction of 11 FTE.
Okay.
From the governor's budget.
Okay. I'm just trying to track all that.
Yeah, I know you are.
When we do permanent positions versus FTE, it's a little confusing for me. All right.
Maybe what would help next time is if I add another line called positions on the bottom of each of these tables, instead of just FTE. Down here, and I'll try to do that in future work sessions.
Well, it doesn't matter either. Just so.
Yeah.
I don't care if you do it here or however you want to do it. I'm more interested in FTE approval rather than
positions
probably, from my vantage point. And of the 11 positions that were eliminated, are those predominantly.
Chair Patridge, this is Cindy Chinnock again. There were 3 management positions, some administrative support positions, and some office specialist positions, as well as 4 child support specialist positions that do training and outreach activities.
And with the reduction in 11 in the child support division now, then how many vacant positions do you currently have available? I mean, if we were to approve the budget as it's presented with the LFO recommendation, how many vacant positions would you have?
Chair Patridge, I don't have that figure here. I don't know the balance. We still, it seems to me that those that are not filled or not, there's no exception at this point to fill, exception requests to fill, there were still a few, but it was a handful. Let me see if I've got that chart.
Chair, and the other thing, when I worked at the division, we wanted to make sure we try to protect as many case managers' positions or those positions that generate benefits for families that are receiving child support. And so they worked with me in selecting which positions they are, because if you start digging into some of those other positions, you will start taking away revenue from families. And we wanted to minimize that.
I don't have the total number. It seems to me that we had 10 other positions that we looked at as a possibility, but the fact was it cost the state more by cutting those positions in terms of the fact that they bring in recoveries that help fund other positions, and by cutting them, then there's a gap in funding for addition for those other positions because of their work on recoveries for that are retained by the state and offset of general fund.
Well, next time we come back, I'd just like to make sure that we know what those positions are and what the, I mean, we're going to be all over, we've been asked and prodded to be all over the FTE, so don't feel like you're being singled out, Cindy, by any way, shape, or form. I want to know what your plan, what your hiring back plan is going to be if we're going to fund these 11 positions. If we're going to fund them, they're needed, and I don't want them to be vacant for a long period of time. So I guess that's what we're really trying to get down to where we're at, especially in light of the additional $650 million budget shortfall. So if we can get those particular pieces.
Mr. Chair, just to remind the committee, I'm sure you know that the vacancy list we were working off of dated back a few months, mm-hmm. and so we tried to update those in many cases. But in a division the size of child support with roughly 600 positions, you have people filing in and out the door, and that vacancy list changes probably daily on what's on and what's off it.
But I guess now that we're in a hiring freeze, they're probably not filling those positions quite as readily.
Probably not, but many of these positions are not subject to hiring freeze or have exemptions made because of their caseload carrying nature.
And I'd also like to know how long they've been vacant. So we want to know how long they've been vacant and what we're looking at. Okay. Other questions? Okay. All right. I want to get the FTE stuff under control. I don't think, besides the FTE stuff, Cindy, if you can just give that to Doug or whatever later, I'm fine to move it once we get that information, if the committee is okay with that. But we're getting beat up on a regular basis on FTE too, so unless I can get good FTE.
Chair Patridge, I appreciate that, and we'll bring that information
okay.
and send it over.
Great. Thanks, Cindy, because I don't think we're going to have any further questions, and I think somebody else can answer on the FTE
okay.
stuff probably just as readily, but thanks for being here. All right.
For Chair, if you return to page 3, we'll go to the administration. Administration is basically made up of business, human services, and the what I'll call information systems, and for lack of a better term, the front office of the Attorney General is an immediate staff. The major issues here are there's been growth in the demand for these services, sort of because of the growing staff, increasing complexity of some programs, and new programs around tobacco tax compliance, state compensation for victims, a growing workload there that has increased the workload on this agency or on this division. The policy packages start on page 4. I guess all of them are on page 4. I take that back. Package 111 establishes three positions or 2.5 FTE. to provide fiscal support and payroll support to various programs in DOJ. Just as a background, there was an analysis done by the Western States Attorneys General in a customer service initiative, and that and this is a much scaled-down version of what they proposed in terms of this area and in the information systems area. New resources for this package for these three positions and 2.5 FTE are from charges from various programs in the agency. So it's, you know, it's assessed against the Legal Services Fund, the Consumer Protection Fund, or whatever fund that these positions are being, or program that these positions are being used for. There's also three reclasses in this package that better reflect their responsibilities. Total cost of this package, the net cost after self-financing portions of it is $131,560,000. One reason that we recommend the approval of these three positions is that is to make sure that the billing rate and payroll support and other financial responsibilities of the staff are met, and so you have a sound financial program for this agency.
Can you tell us what the what were they reclassified from?
Go ahead.
Chair Patridge, I believe the reclasses, and we may need Doug's help here a bit, but we reclassed an accountant 3 to an accountant 4. That primarily was due to the fact that in the past we have not had responsibility for the child support program accounting. That brings over millions of dollars of extra financial work that we've never done before. And so we had to restructure internally just within our financial services operation just to be able to deal with the extra dollars coming over from that. Put your name. Frank Betcha, Administrative Services, for the record. Frank.
So we reclassed to an accountant 4 on one of them.
It was from an accountant 3
to an accountant 4,
accountant 2 to accountant 3, mm-hmm. and then I think the payroll, this was related to the payroll, from an office specialist 1 to an office specialist 2.
Yes, and I can speak to the two reclasses, the accountant 2 to the accountant 3 and the accountant 3 to the accountant 4 relate to the structure regarding the child support program coming over, and it really expands our financial records. We also, I think the primary position that is funded 100%, that we bona fide brand new position that we are bringing in, is the payroll supervisor. This is one that we were really lacking for internal control to actually have the payroll function well. We've had tremendous growth in the organization, but we had really never really paid a lot of attention to the payroll operation. And there, we were supported in this actually by the State Controller's Division was asking us and supporting us in bringing in a higher level position that could manage the whole payroll operation, because we have the not only the payroll, but we work with the insurances also within that same group. And this is one of those things, frankly, that's over time when the agency had maybe 800 people in it, it had the same level of payroll as it does when it has 15, and it just doesn't work. It just needed the extra support.
I understand.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, package 112, there's nothing
One
more.
Other question. Kelly, from BAM's perspective, when you guys participated in the transfer, did you guys go back and look at the DHS reclass? Did you guys go look at reclassifying down anyone at DHS, or are we just getting a net up classifying? I mean, because DHS previously did this function. And so my question is, has within the administration at DHS, did we go back and reclassify any positions down?
Maybe Doug can answer that question better than I can. Typically, the human resource functions are so huge, taking this small amount out probably didn't impact significantly the positions that were remaining. So I doubt if there were any significant changes made.
But when you lose 600 staff members,
payroll from one division to another?
But Mr. Chair, the 600 staff were already within Department of Justice.
No, but when we moved over Child Support Division, we moved over...
Mr. Chair, the positions were already as part of the DOJ budget, and the accounting and the personnel functions and all that were already part of DOJ operations. The only thing, the only positions that were moved were the nine positions from Department of Administrative or Department of Human Services over to DOJ.
I understand that. What I'm saying, but what I'm trying to get to is, DHS previously had the payroll function. The
Chair Patrick.
Frank Petcher. I mean, I don't want to add to confusion, but maybe to clarify, the positions that are the reclass positions, in the accounting positions, are the result of the transfer, because what we're bringing over is a lot of financial work that we had not done before. The payroll position is more to recognize the fact that the agency's size has grown over time, and the payroll function was not keeping up with it. And to be quite honest about it, we were trying to improve the accuracy of what was happening in that area. So the payroll function was not a transfer. The payroll function was just an internal control improvement that the agency needed to make.
I understand that piece.
Oh, okay.
I understand that these positions were there before you had Child Support Division, and now they're there after you have Child Support Division. But part of the rationale you gave me for reclassing these positions is because you were dealing with more sophisticated, at least my understanding, is you were dealing with more people, more sophisticated record keeping and whatever, so you needed people to be reclassified. All three of those positions were reclassified up at a cost to the state of $131,000. My question was, DHS previously has a payroll division. None of those people were transferred to DOJ. They had these people that are classified at certain levels and positions, and now they have lost 600 FTE that have moved over to your shop. None of their payroll positions were transferred. My question is there a subsequent reclassification down that's going on at DHS, or was that even reviewed? I mean, a lot of times we move people around. I understand
the essence of your question.
There's $131,000 that's running around out there.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Kelly Fields with the Department of Administrative Services. I don't believe there was a specific review of positions relative to this transfer. However, the Department of Human Services, as you're well aware, went through a fairly major reorganization. And as a result of that, a number of positions were changed, reclassified up and down, and I would not be surprised if this wasn't included in that overall look at their organization.
Okay. Chair Patrick, could I add a comment?
Yes, Mr. Attorney General.
The impact of the transfer on administrative services is entirely fiscal, I guess we could say, and not at all payroll, because payroll in DOJ, Division of Child Support, for that 600-plus people, was being handled by DOJ before, not by DHS. And I think one of the big issues in trying to figure out how many people should transfer over to DOJ because of the program consolidation, bringing the director's office over, was to figure out how many FTE in DHS could be attributed to servicing this program, because I think some of those people were working with a number of programs within DHS. Wasn't that right, Mr. Wilson?
That's right. And as are these people working with numerous programs within your department.
Well, that's true. That's correct. And so it took a fair amount of discussion between the two agencies, and then, of course, ultimately review by LFO to figure out what was a fair reduction or transfer of FTEs to account for the functions that were actually going to be coming over to DOJ and given up by DHS.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, so we're not quite sure whether they were looked at DHS or not, to any great degree. So I will ask that question somewhere else, but that shouldn't be your concern on this one. So why don't, so package 111, okay, 112?
112 is similar to the 19 positions we talked about in child support. These were three limited duration positions from 0103. They provided network, help desk, desktop support. The agency requests that they become permanent positions. In building the budget, you lose the authority and the funding for the limited duration, and that's why there's an increase in funding. This is a continuation of functions for the agency. If you're part of an agency workforce, one of the most frustrating things is when you lose support for information systems, and that is why we're recommending the approval of these positions. Again, they're funded. This package is funded in part by reductions internally of admin in SNS, and the balance, the $262,000, are from charges to the various programs, whether it's child support, whether it's legal services, or whatever they're serving in terms of their internal cost allocation plans. It funds the $262,000. As part of the Western States Attorney General Consumer Service Initiative or Customer Service Initiative, there was a much larger request or recommendation that was part of the agency request. I'm not sure how many positions. It was significantly more than the three limited duration positions we're looking at. So given that, yeah, I think they were looking at probably 20 positions almost, it looks like, when I had them up here. That is package 112.
Okay.
Package 113 is sort of a technical package in the sense that it adjusts the interagency charges and transfers to finance admin when the agency request budget wasn't fully funded by the governor. For a variety of reasons, mainly lack of resources, we need to adjust the limitation and the interagency charges downward to reflect the what had been in part of the agency request budget that had not been completely done in the governor's budget. If there are major changes made by the legislature, we may have to come back to this package and further readjust it. Package 115 is another one of those student worker position that we talked about before. It adds just a little bit over one FTE between two positions. This package is fully financed internally by reductions in temporary appointment resources. And basically what it's doing is making sure that you have the FTE there. There's no increase in the overall cost because many of the student workers were being hired as temporary employees. This better reflects the work that they perform and probably gets over that temporary employee issue that we talked about yesterday a bit with DPSST. LFO adjustments 1 through 5, we've talked about that the standard overall, this is a decrease of $610,000, other fund, total funds. 006 is a reduction in the general fund component of the Attorney General's salary. We are not reducing his salary. We're just asking the agency to reduce the general fund and spread it among the various programs within the agency. The 2001 legislature did add a general fund-only component when it raised various constitutional officers' salaries in the last biennium. And we're asking or recommending that the general fund be saved and it be spread across the entire various programs equitably in the agency. And those are the decision packages or the policy packages and adjustments for the administrative unit of the AG or DOJ.
Okay. Chair to entertain a motion for the approval of the policy packages on the administration division of DOJ, if the committee is inclined to go there. Representative Hansen would move the LFO recommendations for administration for the Department of Justice in the amount of $11,535,102 with 85.88 FTE. Discussion? All right. If there's no objection, then it's so ordered. Can you note Representative Butler for everything as excused?
I just wanted to say on this particular panel, I think it's, I know we're in tough times, but we tried to raise the Attorney General's salary last legislative session, I believe, as well as many other government people who were employed in kind of the executive or head of departments, especially for the Attorney General's. There's a lot of starting law school students who make more than the Attorney General, and I think it's unfortunate that we can't continue to fund the Attorney General at an appropriate level to be able to attract highly qualified people. I appreciate, Hardy, where you're at. You've made some substantial sacrifices for the public and during the course of your career, not only as the Attorney General, but on other positions you've served in. And I think it's a very, very difficult thing for me as an attorney to look at that. So I'm not happy to do that, but that's where we're at statutorily. And I think it's unfortunate that, I think it's hard to even attract candidates. Not that I'm unhappy with Hardy, but it's hard to attract candidates to be to even step up and run for office who are attorneys in the general public or even people from within the Attorney General's office without having to take substantial cuts in pay to a point where I think it's embarrassing, frankly, for the state. But that's my own personal soapbox, so thank you, Hardy.
I think that was a compliment.
It was a compliment.
Well, it seemed to me just veering back and forth.
It should be taken as a compliment.
He's an attorney. He's the whole is going to get it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, the next division is the appellate division. As noted here, that the FDE does dropped by, in the LFO recommendation, by 2. There's a relatively small reduction from the governor's budget of 10.2 to the LFO recommendation of $9.8 million. Major issues over most of this division is a reactive division. 95% of their workload is reactive to actions taken by others. The other, they represent, or part of 80% of the State Court of Appeals and 50% of the Supreme Court cases involve this division. This is also the division that has a role in preparation of ballot measure titles. This has been generally increasing the workload of this over the years, and there has not necessarily been staff added for that function. And as a result, as the last bullet says, there has been a slight increase in the backlog, and this is a contributing factor in that, but the number of cases, the backlog has increased from about 12.7 in 98 to 14.6 per attorney. So there is a growing backlog here. There are no specific policy packages. There are the 5 standard adjustments that we've talked about before for the appellate position, or division, excuse me. And in terms of vacant positions, I think there was 1 taken in this division. I'll find my sheet here. No, excuse me. There were 2 positions taken as vacant positions.
All right. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will there be a point in time where every potential ballot title that can be thought of has already been developed? You'll have them all on
the board. Mr. Chairman,
Senator George.
In defense of people who try to get a reasonable description of their ballot title, I wish I could do something about this right here. Because ballot title shopping came from the result of decisions that were being made right here. And I just want you to know I don't appreciate it.
Right.
A reasonable definition seems to be pretty easy for almost everyone in the public.
I know this is a hot issue every legislative session on ballot titles, and I think before the smoke clears on this session, we will have more debates about ballot titles, most definitely. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, the chair is prepared. I'll move the standard packages 1 through 5 and get beyond this issue.
All right. Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendation in regard to the appellate division for the Department of Justice in the amount of $9,781,903 and FTE at 48.83 Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I don't know, Doug, if we want to... I have another appointment at 3 o'clock. I don't know if we want to really start into the civil enforcement.
I think with civil enforcement, you'll probably have some discussion around the $2 million that's taken out of there. So I would suggest you may want to...
Okay. As we go through the... We're going to... We will... if we can just get the information back on the child support division and just be prepared on any of the other FTE pieces. I don't think that there's anything else like child support, though, in yours from my recollection. And I probably should have asked ahead of time, but I apologize that I didn't.
But, I believe that's the only one.
Yeah. So I think at this point in time, we're gonna hold this over till Tuesday. My intent on Tuesday is to try and get out of here, to try and be done by 2 o'clock. So if we can try and get the... You'll have a nice rested Memorial Day weekend, we hope, in District Day on Monday, and then everyone will show up on time so we can get this budget done, hopefully Tuesday. All right? With that, we're going to continue over the work session on Senate Bill 5525 regarding the Department of Justice until Tuesday, May...
Nobody
27. So ordered, and with that, we are done.